Fear not is in the Bible a lot. It is one of God's most consistent messages, which is why we're going to take a look at it today. Fear is such a beast to deal with, isn't it? It's such a tough emotion to combat. Maybe that's why Jesus said, fear not so often. I know I battle with fear a lot. You probably do as well. For example, we can all have fear about our families. I mean, I have 4 kids ranging in ages from 11 to 21. At young ages, I feared them choking or drowning. 3 of my kids are now driving. There's a fear for their safety and everyone else around them. I can fear that one of my kids, I don't know, may become addicted to something, get into trouble, or run around with the wrong crowd. I can fear that I'm just not being a good dad. There's a lot of fears wrapped up in being a parent. If you're a parent, you can probably relate to what I'm saying. We can fear for our concern for our health. Let's say you feel a pain in the side of your head. If you're anything like me, you immediately go to the worst case scenarios in your mind. Maybe you'll Google your symptoms, which always makes things worse. Maybe you had a parent or grandparent, an aunt, an uncle who died of something at a young age. So whenever things feel off in your body, you worry that you're gonna end up with the same fate. We can have fear about our jobs and money. Maybe you got laid off or lost work during the pandemic, and you have this fear that your income will never come back. Or maybe you're afraid that you'll lose work in the future. Maybe money stresses you out to no end, whether your job is great or terrible. Your parents maybe never had enough when you were a kid, and now it's a major source of fear in your life. We can have a global fear. We watch the news and our hearts are struck with fear. We read articles that say that things are falling apart, which makes us feel anxious. We have friends and relatives who tell us how bad things are in our country or around the world, and immediately our blood pressure goes up. And these fears are just the tip of the iceberg, right? There's a lot of bad news in this world. But there's also good news. In this series, we've been talking about questions that Jesus asked. And the question we're going to look at today and the context in which Jesus asked it can give us a new powerful tool when it comes to facing our fears. In the Gospel of Mark, we see an interaction between Jesus and his disciples. They were in a boat crossing over from the west side to the east side of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus had been busy ministering to people and he was ready to get some rest. And then Mark records this. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Because of its geography, the Sea of Galilee was vulnerable to violent weather. Big, crazy storms were notorious in this region. But Jesus was so exhausted that he slept right through it. So before Jesus asked his question, the disciples had a question of their own. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" This is an interesting question because the disciples were asking Jesus if he was concerned about their well-being. Instead of asking Jesus if he could help them, the disciples questioned Jesus's character. And that's how fear works. Fear corrodes our confidence in God's goodness. The disciples had seen Jesus show compassionate love to people that no one in culture even noticed. They had witnessed him heal sick people. The disciples were his friends. Of course he cared about their well-being, but fear unleashes all kinds of doubt. Even when we have every reason to trust the goodness of God based on what we've seen and experienced, our faith suffers from amnesia. I've experienced this, and you probably have as well. I've seen God do incredible things in my life and in the lives of people around me. But when I face overwhelming situations or I get overcome with fear, that's when doubt creeps in and I ask, God, do you care about what's going on in my life? This is how Jesus responded to their question. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly, the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Jesus approached the wind and waves like they were his children. Just like when parents tell their kids to calm down and stop being so loud, Jesus rebuked his creation. With just a few words from his mouth, everything became peaceful and still. And then comes the 2-part question that Jesus asked. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Jesus seems to imply that their level of fear reflected their level of faith. Many of the disciples were seasoned fishermen. They understood just how dangerous storms could be. Plus, the boat was nearly swamped. Yet despite all of this, Jesus wanted his presence to cancel out their terror. See, the presence of Jesus doesn't mean the absence of bad things happening. Years later, after Jesus went back to heaven to be with the Father, the disciples established the early church and were led by the Spirit of God. But according to tradition, eventually all of them, except for John, lost their lives at the hands of persecutors. Much of the early church spent time in danger of being in prison or killed for their belief in Jesus. If their faith was dependent on bad things not happening or no threats of terror, their faith would have been non-existent. It was the presence of Jesus and his Spirit that carried them through the storms. Now, it was the disciples' turn to ask another question. The disciples were absolutely terrified. "Who is this man?" they ask each other. "Even the wind and waves obey him." Even though they had seen Jesus perform miracle after miracle, perhaps they had never seen him do a miracle that showed his authority over nature. They responded with a respectful awe for him. "Who is this man?" should have been the first question they ask. They should have started there. And that's where you and I should start when we face real fears. We can stay afraid, or we can remember who God is. In this way, the storms of our lives will help solidify our faith and help us see God in a clearer light. Because faith is about remembering and reminding yourself who God is. The original readers of Mark's gospel faced all kinds of persecution for their faith. So the account of this incident on the Sea of Galilee was surely to comfort them. Through the person of Jesus, they learned that God can control the natural circumstances of life, including nature and including storms. They could either focus on their fear, challenges, and storms, or they could remind themselves of the character of God and how powerful He is. In order for you and I to focus on who God is, I think a good place for us to start is by planning who He is in our heart. And a great way to do that is by focusing in on some of the truths God tells us through Scripture. Think about verses like this. God is love. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all." Now, all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. "Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. "I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid." Find a few key truths from Scripture like this that really resonate with you. On days when life gets really stormy for me, I just pause and I pray, "God, help me to remember." And this is bad grammar, by the way. "God, help me remember that you've got this and you've got me." It changes my perspective. And we can all do something like this. We can find truths and promises in God's word and make them personal in our prayers with God. Over time, as we memorize prayer and a couple of truths from Scripture about who God is, truth will start to fill our spirits and eventually become stronger than our emotions. What if, when our fears came rushing in, instead of focusing on everything that could go wrong, what if we focused on how powerful God is? What if we trusted that He is at work in this present moment to accomplish His purposes? He is our peace. He's our hope. He is the one we can trust to always be there for us. When the disciples faced the storm, they forgot how powerful the man in the boat was. That's why Jesus said, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The power of Jesus was on display in front of them. And you know what? It's on display in front of you and me too. Faith is remembering and reminding ourselves who God is. So let's plant what's true about God deep in our spirits.